His blood is so precious, and it deserves such praise. And I thank the worship team for leading us in that beautiful song. If you have your Bibles with you and would like to turn with me, I know the bulletin says we're going to only read one verse, but I've decided to add a couple of more. So if you would like to join me in standing as we honor God in reading His Word, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 14 through 16 instead of just verse 15. And begins by saying, "Then we no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." I want to focus in on that statement, speaking the truth in love. Would you pray with me this morning? Our gracious Lord, we come today so excited to be in Your presence. So excited, Lord, to be here together and to share our worship of You. Lord, You deserve so much praise and honor and glory, and Father, Son is such a precious gift. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You that You choose us. Father, we humble ourselves before You in these moments. We ask that You would speak and we would hear. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Y'all may be seated. The Apostle Paul, in these verses, is describing the outcome of a church which has reached maturity. We've been talking about that idea of being a mature church, of being a church that lives up to what God has in store for us. And he's pointing out that a mature church will be stable in what it believes. You'll be able to walk into a mature church and will have clear focus of what's important. They'll know the truth. A church which has not been properly built up by the leadership, by the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and teachers will not have unity in the faith. They will not have a full knowledge of the Son of God. Part of what he's saying here. And a church with that condition opens the doors for them to believe things which do not agree with the truth of Jesus Christ. They do not know and cannot identify the truth. They're going to be apt to believe anything that man can come up with that sounds plausible. It's a position of instability. It leads to being tossed about from idea to idea with no grounding. See, the thing is, if we don't know this truth right here, we'll be led astray. And Paul was encouraging these Ephesians to grow up in the faith, to grow up in their knowledge of Christ. This idea that Paul's discussing reminds me so much of some of these emails you see floating around. You know, you get them every now and then. They keep circulating around, emails about this or about that. And so many times, the petitions they want you to sign, maybe it's about Madam Marie O'Hara, who's been gone forever. You know, she's with her God. Okay? She didn't think she had a God, but she's with the God she claimed. But anyway, either way, those emails floating around, there's so many things out there on the internet that sound believable, but they're not true. It's so bad that they've actually created a website that you can go to verify whether something is true or not. But you see people continue to recycle these emails because they don't recognize they're not true. And it's like a person who doesn't know what to believe. They'll believe anything. And a mature church is not that kind of a church. They're not going to just believe anything. They're going to be able to recognize what is the truth. They're going to be able to verbalize that truth. They're going to be a stable church. And one of the things that you're going to recognize that they're a stable church is that they can speak the truth in love. They have the ability to openly and boldly share what pertains to Jesus Christ. And because they have that ability, they'll recognize what's true and what's not. And so they'll be stable. It's this truth which helps contribute to their becoming what God wants them to be in Christ Jesus. You look at Ephesians 1:4, it says that God chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. A stable church will be holy and blameless. A mature church will be holy and blameless because that's God's goal for us. The level of maturity sought is all about being holy and blameless before God. And this can only be achieved with God's truth. Man cannot achieve holy and blameless. God can. So we must have His truth. So since speaking the truth is part of what it takes to grow up and mature in Christ Jesus, what does this involve? We got to speak the truth. What truth are we talking about? What kinds of truth should we speak? Well, I want to look at that this morning, and I hope you'll join me in this little journey through the Scripture. First off, speaking the truth involves corrective truth. That's something society in America today doesn't really like, the idea of being corrected. We want to think that we can believe whatever we want, live like however we want, and we don't have to answer to anybody. That's the common view of freedom. Problem is, that view of freedom leads to chaos and destruction because we're all accountable to somebody else for something. If you don't believe me, just run through one of these red lights that has a little camera. Somebody will send you something that tells you you're accountable. But one of the struggles each of us has to deal with is the fact that we are not infallible. We will make mistakes. Even though we become and grow up to mature in Christ Jesus, somewhere along the line, we're going to slip up. We have to struggle daily against the sin nature to make sure that we walk in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, not walking in the spirit of flesh. And to be a mature church requires occasionally that we have to correct someone because their actions do not measure up. Now, if you've been on the correcting end of some of that, sometimes we don't do it as lovingly as we should, and it's not pleasant. But the truth of the matter is, God is either going to correct us through another believer, or He's going to correct us directly. Because if God's goal is for us to be mature and holy, He's going to get us there. And so we need to be open to that correction. This correction must involve speaking the truth in love. If it's done in a hateful way, then it's wrong, even if it is the truth. Doing truth the wrong way is just as bad as not doing the truth. It does just as much damage. And this correction, as Galatians 6:1-2 says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Speaking the truth in love is the way we fulfill the law of Christ. We encourage each other. Much of what Paul wrote to the churches that he planted could be classed as speaking the truth in love. So many times he's writing to them, he's sharing things that they should be doing or they should be believing so that they walk in the maturity of Jesus Christ. Most of his works contain material designed to correct the thinking of these new Christians, to lead them in the way they should walk. But you know what? Paul didn't just write letters to deal with bad Christian behavior. Sometimes he did it up front and personal. Sometimes he did it to a person direct to their faith. In fact, in the second chapter of Galatians, there's an account where Paul opposed Peter to his face in front of a whole congregation. The experience was this. Peter was at a church in the church in Antioch. The church in Antioch was made up of a lot of non-Jewish believers. Well, the Jews had this thing about not mixing with Gentiles, but Peter had showed up at the church of Antioch. The Spirit of God was strong, and so he was just mixing it up with those Gentiles just like he was one of them. And then some Jews from Jerusalem came down to Antioch to check out what was going on, and Peter started withdrawing his fellowship from the Gentiles. He started pulling away. He started acting Jewish again. His behavior was not glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So in front of God and everybody, in front of the whole church, Paul called Peter down. He correctively spoke the truth in love. Paul's acts were done in love, and they helped restore the unity of the fellowship. They helped bring the church back together so that they were unified as one. But there's another such experience of this happening in the gospel, and it also involved Peter. But this time, Peter was the one doing the correcting. Now, the reason I share these two stories is because, if you'll notice, even a leader can make mistakes and has to be corrected. Peter had to be corrected by Paul, but also Peter had to correct others in the church. The story I'm referring to is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. The church was young. The church was new in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit had come. Peter had preached. 3,000 had gotten saved. The church was born. Things were growing. And then Ananias and Sapphira decided they were going to defraud the church. They were going to lie to the church. The Holy Spirit spoke to Peter, told him what was going on. Peter confronted Ananias first. And when he confronted Ananias because of the sin that he was committing and the fact that he was unrepentant in that sin, God struck him dead right on the spot. Peter was trying to correct him. 3 hours later, his wife comes in. Peter confronts her because of her unrepentant spirit. Guess what? Same thing happened. God struck her dead right there on the spot. God's action brought strength and unity to the church. In fact, if you go back and look at that story, in the fifth chapter of Acts, I believe it is, you'll find that it says, great fear fell on the church. And there are times when speaking the truth must by necessity be corrective. There are times we have to pull people back on track. And when this is done with the intent of producing spiritual guidance and restoring unity, it will help the body grow stronger. It will help the church mature. It will help us move forward and become the church we are supposed to be, as long as it's done in humility and love. It can't be done out of anger or hatred. It can't be done out of superiority. It must be done in the gentle spirit of Jesus Christ. The sign of maturity involves being willing to speak corrective truth. But also a sign of maturity is that you're willing to receive corrective truth. Well, speaking the truth involves inspiring truth as well. There are times when truth spoken must be inspiring truth. It must be truth that draws us or urges us on to be greater in the kingdom of God. It leads us to greater things. What Christ has done for us is so great we dare not give Him less than our best. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that, and that's inspiring truth. It encourages us to do more, to do greater things. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians and he said, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory." Paul's efforts were designed to inspire them to live lives worthy of God, to live lives worthy of the sacrifice that Christ had made for them. He was urging them on to greater things. As I was working through this, I thought of the story of Jesus and Peter. Peter's a prominent part of my message today. I think it's because I'm a lot like him. But anyway, Peter was walking on the sea of, Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee out to his disciples that were in a boat in the middle of the lake. Of course, it scared the disciples to death because they'd never seen anybody walk on water, especially in the dark, who they couldn't identify immediately. They thought they were seeing a ghost or a spirit or something like that. And anyway, he was walking out there on the water, and finally he got close enough the disciples recognized him. And for whatever reason, Jesus' efforts inspired Peter to do something that had never been done before. And Peter said to the Lord, he said to Jesus, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Tell me to get out of the boat and walk to you on the water." I've been out in a lot of boats, but I've never been inspired to try that. But Peter was inspired to do something that the mind will tell you was totally impossible. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Come on." He didn't say to Peter, "You can't do it, you don't have faith." He didn't say to Peter, "You can't do this, it's impossible for a man to do." He didn't say to Peter, "No, don't get out of the boat." He said, "Come on." And Peter was inspired to climb out of that boat and to walk on water. As long as we're willing, God will always invite us to do greater things. He will always call us to accomplish things that seem to be impossible. To rise above what is and think outside the box of normal and to achieve what could be. Paul was speaking inspiring words to those Thessalonians. Jesus was speaking inspiring words to Peter. We can speak inspiring words to one another. We can spur each other on to accomplish things that are beyond what we could even imagine. Scripture says in Ephesians 5:19 through 20, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's it saying? Speak to one another praise. Speak to one another inspirational words that will put a song in the heart. Speak things which will lead to giving thanks to God. Why? Because that's when we do inspiring things. We do things greater than what we can imagine. A sign of maturity is when we use inspiring words to lead each other to be more like Jesus. To lead each other to be more of what God would have us to be. That's speaking the truth in love. There's another thing. Speaking the truth involves unifying truth. Calvin Coolidge once said, "I've never been hurt by anything I didn't say." You get that? "I've never been hurt by anything I didn't say." He realized that words can hurt. Even if he only realized that his words might hurt him, there's a truth there. Words have the power to harm. One of the truths that God shared with us, we must be careful about the words we speak. They can either do great harm or they can bring great healing. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." When we say words which hurt someone, especially deceitful words about someone, which may or may not be true, we drive a wedge between us and them. We destroy unity. It harms the body of Christ. But when we say words which help and restore another person's spirit, we bring healing to them and to the fellowship. And it leads to unity in the body of Christ. How many wouldn't rather receive a compliment than a complaint? Why? Because it restores us. It renews us. It lifts us up. Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The truth we need to remember is that a mature believer will speak words of healing. They will guard their speech in order to avoid doing harm to another. A mature believer will attempt to speak unifying words, words which build up and which do not destroy. Words which bring together, not separate. Scripture tells us in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 14, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, the believer who's put on or clothed themselves with the compassion and kindness and humble and patient characteristics of Christ will reflect that in their speech. They will show it in how they talk to a brother. They will avoid being judgmental. They'll pass up being critical. They will shun jumping to conclusions. Instead, they will seek to be gracious and forgiving, just like Jesus Christ. The sign we're maturing is when our speech and our actions become healing, not hurtful. When our words bring people together, not push them apart. There's another thing. Speaking the truth involves building truth. Ephesians 4:29 said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to the others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Speak what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You know what? The world is full of people who are broken. The world is full of people who have been wrecked by sin and failure. They don't need to be slammed again. What they need is restoration and healing. They've been shattered by the way the world has treated them, and they're greatly in need of being fixed. You know what? Jesus came to fix what was broken. He came to bring restoration and healing. He came healing the sin sick. He came bringing living water for those who were parched and thirsty. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners because they were the ones that needed the touch of God. In fact, the Pharisees kept getting after him because he hung out with the wrong type. So Jesus told them, the sick are the ones that need a doctor, not the healthy. He offered to those who would receive it restoration. We have the power through our words to offer the same thing. We have the power through our words to build up others according to their needs. With God's Word, we can speak truth and love. We can show the love of Christ, and we can bring healing. The words. The evidence of maturity when our words or when our words build up and they don't tear down. When what we say brings hope, not hurt. When the words we speak are for the good of those around us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15, Paul wrote and said, we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. In this passage, what he's pointing out is the need for stronger Christians to help weaker Christians. To build them up through kindness and patience. It calls for words that are spoken in love and gentleness. These kind of words have great value. They're something we all treasure. In fact, in Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. What's it saying? The right kind of words at the right time have great value. They're worth something because they heal and restore. And a mature church will be filled with words of great value, words which ring out true to our Savior. words which strengthen and encourage, building each other up in the full measure of Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of words do you bring to the body of Christ? Are you helping or are you hurting? Do you build up or do you tear down? See, God is wanting us to speak the truth in love. The truth of value which inspires, which corrects, which builds up, which unifies, which brings us all to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Today the Holy Spirit may be speaking to your heart about your words. Maybe He's touched you about something you've said. Or maybe He's touched you about something you should say. Could be that He's leading you to share with someone some healing words. Maybe you've been afraid to speak those words. Well, it's important to the maturity of the church that you speak those words in love. They may be words of forgiveness. They may be words of encouragement. They may be words of support. But if God is saying to you, you need to share with someone these words, today is the day to do it. Now's the moment. Could be God's leading you to speak words of encouragement, as I said. Maybe you know someone's pain and you know that God has given you a word that will help them in their pain. Today's the day to share those words. Maybe you know someone who needs words of correction. You know there's something in their life that's keeping them from the fullness of what Christ would have for them. God wants you to speak those words. He doesn't give us words to say, but what He has a reason for us to use them. In these moments, if God is speaking to you, now's the time to act. Now's the time to help this body reach its fullness in Christ. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, and if you need to go to somebody and speak to them, that's what this is all about. You need to come and pray for strength to do what God has commanded. That's what this is all about. Our altar is open. I'll be here at the front. If God is encouraging you, will you do what He said today? As we